relationships, not all things that we get ourselves involved with, serve us equally. So a lot of times we can take on a lot of water, so to speak. Like, we can take on a lot of extra projects, a lot of things, because people see the value and believe in us and know that we are competent and capable at making things happen. And then we say yes and yes and yes and yes, and then all of a sudden we have so many balls in the air and they don't all serve us. So welcome back. It is episode 3 of the Priority Report with Slow Living Solutions. I'm Scotty, owner and founder. And today we are here to talk about the 6 different cases that I see on the regular from my clients about why it is that they wanted to partake in life crafting and why it is that they benefit or will benefit from such a practice. You may resonate with any one of these 6 or maybe more than one, depending. So all of these people are on a very similar journey, even though they have slightly different problem statements. It's all sort of a different point in the journey that they are on. And so the custom programming that I do with them helps them regardless of whether they are use case 1 or use case 6 or somewhere in between. We work through all components and meet them where they are at. So we'll talk about what that looks like for each and every single one of these use cases. I will be talking about real people. I will not be giving away, for the sake of privacy of my clients, any details regarding who they are or regarding their specific instances, but I will be talking on the broader spectrum. These use cases have been developed off of real people and patterns that I am finding with the clients that I am working with. So, hoping that you are excited for this episode. I definitely am. I love talking about the challenges and the solutions that we come up with for each one of these. And let's get started. This episode is brought to you by OV3 Media, our audio storytelling experts. At OV3 Media, we believe that every brand, community, and leader has a story worth telling. And we make sure it sounds exceptional. From podcast production to sound design, we help creators and businesses develop content with clarity and purpose. Whether you're launching a new series or leveling up your current program, OV3 Media provides turnkey solutions tailored to your voice. Discover more at ov3media.com, OV3 Media. Because your story matters. And now on with the episode. So let's just jump in to it because we have a lot to cover today. So use case 1 for why you might need life crafting. This scenario, I like to call the I'm always the supporting role and never the lead in my own life. I know that this resonates for women in particular, but that doesn't mean that men, you don't experience this as well. But especially as primary caretakers and a lot of the social conditioning around motherhood, we oftentimes are always putting ourselves last in comparison to the needs of our children, of our spouse, of our leadership teams at work, of our community. And it doesn't leave us a lot of time to take care of the personal, much less have a vision for what our future is, because our identity in the different facets that we're living in this particular phase of our life becomes so overly consuming. Once a mom, always a mom. So, and that has to be built into what is in store for you in the future, but it's important that you are more than just that, that you are still yourself, even if you have kids, and that might look different over the course of time, and what your interests and passions and where you're at in your career develops too. So when people that are experiencing this type of I'm always in the support role, never the lead. Oftentimes they struggle with being able to ask for what it is that they personally need. So whether that is time for them to take care of themselves, some self-care time, whether that is help with responsibilities around the house, whether that is time away from work to focus on other things, whether it's trying to find like how do you fit a side hustle or some sort of side project that you're really excited about into the greater scheme of all of the other stuff you have going on, it can be very challenging to have to make time trade-offs in order to fit everything in. And there can be a lot of pressure from those that are even closest to us or that love us the most, because they're so used to the help and assistance and the love and compassion that you are always giving to them and that they are always receiving from you. And so sometimes our ask in order to get what it is that we need means that there's a trade-off of we either need them to step up and do more, or we need them to do things a little bit differently, or we have to start addressing like what does family life or our investments or our holidays and vacations, that things start to look a little bit different than they did prior to that ask. And that can make people really uncomfortable. So for my clients that are in this situation, we take a two-prong approach. First, we have to work on what's holding them back from asking for what it is that they need, what's the response that they're getting, and what's that underlying like story that they're telling themselves that says like, oh, I'm asking too much, or I'm playing into the story that other people are telling me that I'm not deserving of this, or that that in some way, shape, or form, that advocacy is really challenging. And so we have to deal with the stress and the personal story behind why it's challenging to advocate for the things that we need. The second prong in that is then really defining and identifying and getting clear on what is that thing that you do need. Like, is it just space for self-care? Is it that you want to make a transition in your life into a different career path, or you want to be able to stay home with your kids, or you want to be able to do something different with yourself than what you have been doing before. Maybe you're looking to invest in a new hobby or take on a different extracurricular or put more time into your fitness routine or whatever the case may be. Getting clear on what that actual ask, what that time is that you're looking to have allocated, would be dedicated to, is the next piece that becomes super important, so that when you become confident and are able to advocate better for yourself and articulate better what it is that you need, you can then act on it as it becomes available to you. So it's always really important to be thinking about like, okay, so it can get really challenging to figure out like, what do I want to do as my next career move? If you're constantly like, if you're working your 9 to 5 and then you come home to your kids and you've got to make dinner and you got to do all the things and you're planning a vacation, you're doing all this stuff, and like, where do you fit you into that? Is what we work on first and foremost. So that's use case number one. Use case number two, my job and my purpose are one and the same. So I see this a lot with people who are in what I always call the altruistic careers. So your firemen, your policemen, your teachers, your nurses, your social workers. If you are somebody who is very driven by passion and purpose in what it is that you do, and that usually means that you work in a job that is frontline with the public, it can get extremely overwhelming to feel like you are moving the needle in any direction whatsoever, much less in the direction that you want to be moving it in. So we work really closely in this particular use case at defining what are expectations for success. because what we define as success and what our employer might define as success, or even the organization you maybe run a nonprofit that you have, like, that you established with your board as being what success looks like, may not be serving you. And you need to be able to dial it back and figure out, like, where can I find the small wins? Where do I see and feel myself making the biggest impact, even if I'm not, like, solving world hunger? I think it's really important as a motivating factor to keep us going that we can see incremental progress over time. And so it becomes necessary to step back and say, like, okay, are the expectations that we had for what success is or was going to be still realistic? And if they aren't, then how can we reset them to be? And how can we maybe create some intermediary goals that help you in feeling like you can make the intangible tangible in how you're looking at progress being made? So that is use case number. Use case number three, I'm not resourced enough to continue being a resource. These are the people who are usually very high performers who are asked to take on extra projects at work, extra home projects. They are the people that are very much guides for others, in whether that's in their community or in their career path or even in their families, that they're kind of the go-to person. And when people are always coming to you, you have to make sure that you too have people to go to. It's that really important trade-off of making sure that you are, again, taking care of you first, and that you can get help when you need it, and that it's not just a taking from those that are around us. Now, the second piece of this is that not all relationships, not all things that we get ourselves involved with serve us equally. So a lot of times we can take on a lot of water, so to speak. Like, we can take on a lot of extra projects, a lot of things, because people see the value and believe in us and know that we are competent and capable at making things happen. And then we say yes and yes and yes and yes. And then all of a sudden we have so many balls in the air, and they don't all serve us in what it is that we truly feel we deliver value on. So not that you can't do them, not that you wouldn't do them, but if they aren't the things that are enriching and fulfilling for you, like, are they really the things that you should be spending your time on? So we work at, in this instance, a lot of process of elimination. Where can you make the biggest impact with others in a way that also delivers the biggest impact, positive impact for you? And making sure that we're clear on that is rooted in what are the things that you value, what are the things that you're passionate about, what are the things that are the actions that you like to take where you feel good after you've done the thing. So we want to make sure that we are not spread too thin, and that in the instance that we are, that we start narrowing our scope down so that we can really dedicate more quality time to the things that matter, rather than doing a quantity of things with less time to dedicate to each one of them and getting less out of all of them. So, use case number four, we are just blowing right through these. I see all the directions I could pursue and end up being directionless. So these are my folks who come to me, and they are, I love how, like, enthusiastic they are about all of the stuff that they could be doing. They're like, I want to try this thing and this thing and this thing, and I see opportunity everywhere, but then I see opportunity everywhere and I get so overwhelmed because how am I supposed to do all of it or any of it? And then I'm reactionary to the things that are actually happening in my life right now. And all of the things that I could possibly be doing just become this idea that is more of an escapist dream than something that they are actually chasing. So we have to get really clear in this instance about what does that vision really look like? We can't do everything. If we're not sure what that vision needs to really and truly entail, we take a step back and say, like, okay, what are the things that you're really interested in diving into that look of interest? Is there a common theme? Is there like a pattern to what you're drawn to participating in, so that we can pick out those qualities and start to narrow our scope of what it is that we are looking at, and then look at what would be the time commitment to start inserting one or more of those things as an experiment to figure out some direction on where you might like to go or how you might like to participate in something that has bigger vision than what you are doing right now. These can be extracurriculars. They can also be career paths. I've seen both. So, but being specific, again, you'll see this as a theme, is like we have to get back down to the fundamentals of what does it really look like for you to define your core values, your operating principles, how do you see yourself in relation to other people, and how you feel best in delivering value to other people gives us a sense for what direction to start moving in. So that's number four. Use case number five. I have a strong vision, but I struggle to break it into bite-sized manageable pieces. So these folks are a step ahead, we'll say, from our use case number four people. They are like, I am going after the thing. And they are jamming on that. But they struggle with how to take this very long-term vision for what it is they want and break it down into bite-sized manageable pieces. So we work really closely at defining what that vision actually entails. What does it really look like? What does it feel like? Who's involved in it? Like, what are you doing? And then we break that down to say, like, okay, well, if you want to do this, we need to check some intermediary boxes in order for you to hit that goal. And then we can break those intermediary boxes down into smaller pieces that really gets us down to the brass tacks of habits, routines, and systems. So regardless of which use case it is that appeals to you or applies to you, what we're really looking at overall ends up being, how are we shifting our behaviors? How are we making a behavior change at a very minute level to make that incremental progress so that you can get from where you are today to where you want to be in the future? And all of that happens at a habitual, routine, and systematic level. So the more that we can break down into those bite-sized manageable pieces, the easier it becomes for us to not just work at it without the overwhelm, but also for us to measure our progress. So I like to use the example of bodybuilding. I'm not going to go into a huge diatribe about it, but bodybuilding is, you're playing a long game and you have to put in the work for a long time to really and truly get the kinds of results that we see at the competitive level. It's difficult to put on muscle mass, especially in mass amounts, unless you are doing PEDs or something of that nature. Your body can really only build so much muscle, and the discipline and regimen that you have around how you eat and how you train and how you sleep and what your mindset is and how you manage your stress all play into how quickly you can get that muscle to build, and how quickly you can shred the extra fat in order to have the physique that you want to step on stage with. So it's really important, you know, in my practice, like I break things down into those bite-sized incremental pieces. I work with my coach, specifically my bodybuilding coach, to take a 52-week plan, so a full year's plan, and break down, like, what are our goals that are happening within that 52 weeks that are going to get me onto stage in, like, 1 to 2 years. So we're always thinking about how much do I need to be eating? How much am I exercising? How much am I getting my steps in? What's my walking look like? How is building my business playing into this? And so we're taking those same principles, and instead of focusing it on bodybuilding at Slow Living Solutions, we're focusing it on what are your daily practices? It could be in mindset. It could be in how you, it's really about how you spend your time at large. So how are you managing to keep work within your scheduled work hours, or if not within a scheduled hourly limit, putting it within the 40-hour work week that you get paid for versus making yourself overly available or overly accommodating, and being more or less taken advantage of, or feeling that burnout that you might otherwise feel from being way invested in one area at the expense of other pieces of your life. So discipline, and treating discipline as something that is a ritual or a deep-seated practice in honoring yourself, versus to treat it as like we can't play the game of like carrot and stick here. It's not going to get you where you want to go, and it would be a very brutal process to do it that way. So the point of use case number 5 is that you have a great vision for what you want, you just don't know how to get there. And so we roadmap that out and then work together to work through that roadmap to get you into a rhythm that sets you up to succeed so that you can see the progress you're making towards the end goal that you have. All right. Last but not least, we have use case number 6. My job performance is a measure of my self-worth. I think this one is, I think this one is huge. And I think that we all struggle with this a bit. I think this is just deeply seated in American and capitalistic culture, and it's a huge source of frustration and discomfort and unhappiness that we all struggle with at some point in time. So this is where we have to really look at what are the things that cause us to be stressed out or to be anxious, and how are we currently coping with those things? So a lot of times we cope with stuff in ways that are A, unhealthy, but B, that we don't necessarily even recognize. You know, I think a lot of times it's easy to like go like, well, you know, there's some people resort to things like drugs or alcohol, but there's also like, there's excessive shopping or excessive spending or excessive eating or not eating enough or over exercising, overdoing it in the cardio, and all of these ways that we're trying to overcompensate, make trade-offs. We have to work harder, be better. We're not kind to other people that we work with, or we get very judgmental. These are all signs and symptoms that we are really struggling with how our performance really measures up to who we are. So we have to start to figure out, like, how do we de-escalate how do we self-regulate, and how do we create sustainable habits that that don't allow us to fall back into our old patterns. So again, working at how do we instill some positive traits or positive habits that can become our new go-tos instead of what we have normally patterned to deal with whatever the stress is that's going on in our lives. So job performance, I mean, no one likes to be told that they aren't doing a good job, or no one wants to feel like they are behind the eight ball. And this is the way that we end up with answering emails at ridiculous hours and taking on all of the work and saying yes to everything and constantly just worried about our performance reviews at the end of each year or half year, depending on what company you work for. And it, like, one of the things that I think is the most beneficial from the coaching that I do with people in order to suss through this is not just building up new habits, but also, as you'll see, is the common trait between all of these is like getting back down to the brass tacks. What actually matters to you? Because I'm sure that your job, whilst it may give you some type of value, is not the same as who you are as a person. If we took away your job and you could not do that anymore, you would still have just as much value. You are still here on this planet to do something amazing. Your job is not contingent upon that happening. And so being able to parse that apart and say, like, okay, we can see how your job is an outlet for you to apply the amazingness that is you, but your job is not you. And your job is not all of your amazingness. And so being able to put those things in perspective then allows you to look at, like, oh, here are my core strengths. Here are the things that actually matter to me, that actually resonate with me, where I do feel like I am adding value, even if other people don't see it. Or this is where I want to be adding more value because I know the people do see it and I see how they benefit from it. And taking the time to be able to get clear on what that specifically is, or those many traits specifically are, helps you in having better direction for where to put your emphasis, both for your job as well as for yourself in the grander scheme of how you are distributing your time. So that's today's episode. It was a short, sweet one, but we covered off on all six use cases. So let me just run through those one more time real quick as a summary. I'm always the supporting role and never the lead in my own life. Figuring out who it is that you are and what it is that you want to contribute that sits separate and aside from the needs, wants, and ways in which other people identify you is use case number one. Use case number two, my job and my purpose are one in the same. So being all consumed and burnt out by the very altruistic thing that you love so, so near and dear to your heart, and being able to then step back for a second and figure out, like, how do we reset expectations so that you can see success on a more incremental level and on a more consistent basis and not be setting yourself up for failure or perceived failure. Use case number three, I'm not resourced enough to continue being a resource. This is, again, making sure you have your own support system when you need it, because we all need support. And if we are pouring into everybody else, we never have a chance to fill our own cup or find others who can help us to do that. We need to make sure that in order to give back to other people, that we are getting what it is that we need, and that we are focused on the right things and not on trying to do all of the things. All right, use case number four. I see the directions I could pursue and end up being directionless. There are so many options and opportunities, and they might even seem a little bit escapist for us. How do we get focused on and clear on what our true vision is for ourselves? What is it that we really are passionate about? What are our strengths? How do we apply them? Make ourselves feel like it's achievable and start marching in that direction versus analysis paralysis or shooting fish in a barrel. Use case number five is having a strong vision, but struggling to break it down into bite-sized manageable pieces. So this is all about how do we roadmap our way to that greater picture and making sure that we are focused on the right things right now for where we are at and that we are tracking on that success. And use case number six, my job is a measure of my self-worth. So taking the time to realize that your identity and your job are not the same thing. And that when you are feeling stressed, feeling anxious, having some type of reaction to the environment around you where you feel less adequate than you are, then how do we step out of bad patterns of behaviors, bad habits that we have, and step into our true selves and start honoring ourselves through rituals and practices that better serve us for more positive behaviors that give us the confidence to then really and truly focus on how we are fulfilling our own lives and fulfilling the lives of others. So looking forward to speaking with you again in episode four, and I hope that you enjoyed and learned something about how life crafting is a solution for these different outlets or problem statements that different people are coming across as they are in pursuit of a better life. Hopefully they resonate for you. Please feel free to like, share, comment, DM me. I'd love to start a conversation with you, get to know what your challenges are, how we can best craft a customized solution for you, and dive a little bit deeper on any one of these that you might feel resonates. So hope to talk to you soon.